Hello everyone, welcome back to Southwest Bay. I hope that everyone is having a great year so far, and I hope it continues to be that way as we go about this year. I do know that it's been a while since I have posted anything on here. I've just been spending a lot of time with my family and with some friends during the holidays, so it was a really good break, but I am excited to be back and kick off this new year with a new episode. So I am excited about this one. My first episode for 2019 is on transcendentalism. So for those of you who do not know what this is, transcendentalism is a literary, political, and philosophical movement that started in the 19th century. It's mostly influenced by Eastern religions, so such as Buddhism, Hinduism, Taoism, etc. Really, what the belief is that the most important reality is what is sensed or intuitive, rather than what is thought through, so like scientific knowledge. And there are five basic beliefs when it comes to transcendentalism. So I will tell you all right now that not every single transcendentalist lives by all five of these beliefs. They probably would, some at least, would pretty much choose, like, between one or two of these beliefs. But I would say, you know, if you at least follow one of them, then I would say you're good. You can probably still consider yourself a transcendentalist. So I will just give a little short version of all five of these beliefs. So the first belief is that growth and ability of an individual to flourish is chained by society's organized religions and political systems. Two, the knowledge comes from within, like from the human spirit, or that deity which supplies the human spirit. Number three, scientific and political proof is not required for knowledge of an abstract or spiritual nature, or even that the spiritual or mental clarity can be the same source of knowledge about the physical world. Number four, people, nature, and God are all good at the core. And then number five suggests that a physical reality was idealistic. The thought pretty much leads to the ability of a person thinking that he can alter their reality as long as the conviction is strong, the motive was pure, and it comes from a godly source. So yeah, really just saying, oh, the right action along with a mental or spiritual conviction will definitely alter your reality. So there are a lot of things that transcendentalists focus on. Just to name a few, they speak a lot about individuality, self-reliance, idealism, confidence, intuition, simplicity, spirituality, living in the moment, civil disobedience, the importance of nature, knowing that nature can allow us to escape reality. So there is one person that comes to mind when I'm thinking of transcendentalism, and this has got to be by far my favorite writer of all time, and that is Henry David Thoreau. So I will give just a little backstory just on who he was. So Thoreau, he was born in Concord, Massachusetts in the year 1817, and he also did pass away in Concord in 1862 of tuberculosis, or consumption as some people know it as. He grew up in a poor family. They were still cultured, but poor nonetheless. And they made their living by making pencils. So which he did work in at one point during his life. But Henry, he was able to receive top-notch education from Harvard, and this is really funny. His first career, he tried teaching school, but then quit after 2 weeks. So yeah, that was really funny to learn that. But anyway, most of his early writing, it consisted of his extensive journaling. He also published some essays to the Dial, which is a transcendentalist magazine, and he also did some nature narratives and poems. I really just find his work to be really fascinating and inspirational nonetheless. So, how we got started with transcendentalists. I believe it started when he met his mentor, Ralph Waldo Emerson, who, by the way, actually did urge Thoreau to contribute those essays to the Dial. So, fast forward a bit, he's being mentored by Emerson. Thoreau decides they want to conduct in a little experiment on living a simple life. So this is what has inspired him to start building a cabin near Walden Pond on Emerson's land. And really, all this cabin would have is just a bed, some gas so that he would be able to cook his meals, maybe a chair or two if company were to stop by if they chose to. Really, the goal was to just live a plain, simple life with only necessities, no luxuries whatsoever. And he had lived in this cabin for a few years. I can't remember how long. I want to say like 2-3 years, maybe longer, but yeah, a pretty good amount of time. And it's funny, most people, they will say that this guy was a hermit. He's living in the woods all along. This was probably like one of the most happiest people ever to walk the earth, and probably even more happy since he had started living in this cabin. So there are some misconceptions, like some things to know about his experiences in the woods. First, he's discovered that the isolation, it's sometimes exaggerated. He has said at one point in his book, and I quote this, "I have never had a companion that was so companionable as solitude." Right. Another thing to point out, his cabin, it was an easy walking distance from Concord. Like, he could easily, like, walk into town, back and forth anytime, really. And he received frequent visitors, too. So, no, it's not like he was alone. I do not believe that he was a hermit, really. I believe, him living in the woods and also walking back and forth in Concord every once in a while, it wasn't so much as a sign of weakness, but kind of finding balance. Just really, him understanding that, you can have a luxurious life every once in a while. So I am going to share this other quote in this book, and I think this really does touch base really well on what he was trying to accomplish when he moved into the Walden Pond area. He says, I quote, "I went to the woods because I wished to live deliberately, to front only the essential facts of life, and see if I could not learn what I had to teach, and not then, when I came to die, discover I had not yet lived," end quote. So, there are many things when I read this book for the first time that I thought that it touched base on a lot that I do agree with. First of all, it taught me that you should rely more on your intuition rather than reason or logic to find truth. You should also act instead of thinking about something, experience rather than speculate. It also points out that men in nature are inherently good and pure. It's just that sometimes society and its institution corrupts the purity of that individual. It also taught me that you should focus on self-improvement rather than improving someone else. And lastly, Thoreau has pointed out that God manifests himself inside everyone and everything in the form of divine intuition and inspiration. So, yeah, I do understand for most of this part. It's probably been more about a book club than a philosophy thing, but hey, whatever gets me talking about transcendentalism. Right. So, I just lost my train of thought, I'm sorry. Definitely recommend checking out this book. Its title is Walden. It also goes by the name Life in the Woods, and it's just a really good read. It has influenced me so much, and Thoreau in general pretty much has inspired me to live a much more simple life, and I am so much more happy because of that. So I am going to end this discussion on that note. I hope that all of you have a really good day. You can check this podcast out either on my Facebook page or on my Instagram page. And yeah, you already know, but I'll say it again. The page name is Sophos Bae, so SOPHOSBAE. Right, so I hope that, again, you guys have a fantastic day. I'll be back with another episode next week.